place in God's story and to help people, families, members, coworkers, neighbors, and friends discover their place in God's story as well. And in participating in this journey, we're reading through the scripture, 365 days, reading through the chronological NIV Bible to discover people and their place in God's story and think about how it impacts us and our place in God's story. And we're looking at 52 Bible characters along the way. Now, as we come into the book of Exodus, who is like the number one biblical character in the book of Exodus? Moses. And so as I mapped out this preaching plan for week six, I said, we're going to preach on Moses. And then this week, as I was reading through Exodus again, following the day-by-day reading plan, God said, no, not Moses. What about Bezalel? Okay, Bezalel. And so we're going to look at the life of Bezalel today. And his story is introduced to us in Acts. In Exodus chapter 31. So if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31 and take out the worksheet that you have for taking notes on the sermon, you will see Bezalel and your place in God's work. I begin by reading Exodus 31 verses 1 through 11, and then I'm going to skip ahead to Exodus 35 and read the close of that chapter. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamak of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant, law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you. Exodus 35, beginning at verse 30. Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, son of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamak of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with the skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. Every skilled worker. Every skilled person. Now, before we look at the text in terms of considering it and our place in God's work, there are two things I'd love to have you put at the top of your note page. Number one, answer the question, what is your work? What is your work? You might want to complete a sentence. I am a, and name your work. I am a, and name your work. And then secondly, what are your top two or three skills that you bring to that work? So name your work, I am a, and then what are the top two or three skills that you bring to that work? I have you to do that because in the text, it isn't just about Betzalel, or Betzalel, it's about every skilled person. Every skilled person. And so we want, if we're going to find our place in God's work, we begin by understanding ourselves, our work, and the skills that God has given us. Here's the proposition. The sermon in a sentence. You can find your place in God's work by responding to God in four ways. Four ways, just like Betzalel. Observe that, first of all, like Betzalel, we should say yes to work and do it wholeheartedly for the glory of God. Just like it says in chapter 31 at verse 1, when the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Betzalel, son of the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah." And you go, "Huh? It does?" I'm saying that we are to say yes to work and to do it wholeheartedly for the glory of God, and that is what's behind these opening words to Moses, "See, I have chosen Betzalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." Three grammatical indicators. The first grammatical indicator is the imperative to Moses, "See." Exclamation point. See. It's a Hebrew imperative. Moses, you are to look and observe. It will be obvious. Take notice, Moses, that I have chosen Betzalel. It's already been done. And so if Moses is to obey the command, even on the Mount Sinai, as the Lord speaks it to him, I'm imagining his mind going through the church directory, the pictorial directory. Oh, there's Betzalel. Wow, yeah, he is a master artisan. He is skilled in working with gold and silver and bronze. An amazing man. Yes, I see. When I pause to look and consider this man, yeah, you've set him apart for this work. It's obvious. So the first grammatical indicator that Betzalel has already said yes to work and he's doing it wholeheartedly for the glory of God is that Moses is commanded to see, to take notice of him, and it'll be obvious. Secondly, is what God says in the cal perfect, which is completed action in the past. God says, "I have chosen. I have chosen." And here is completed action in the past. The Lord's choice of Betzalel for this work was completed in the past. in two senses. In eternity past, before the foundations of the earth, before he was conceived in his mother's womb, before the first day of his birth, God had chosen him for this work. That's consistent with all of Scripture concerning God, the work that God has for us, including Ephesians chapter 2:10 concerning you and I, where it says that in Christ we have been created for good works that God has prepared beforehand in time past that we would walk in them today. God says, I have chosen Bezalel for his work. And it was, my choosing of him was in the past, in eternity past, but also in temporal past. If we are to look over our life and how God has shaped our lives and formed our lives, even our work, we will be able to bear witness to the fact that God has been setting us apart all through life. And I have to believe that for Bezalel in Egypt, when he was a slave, that someone saw potential in him and took him aside and apprenticed him in the arts of working with gold and silver and bronze. And the Lord's choice of him was confirmed. But he worked, whether it was in Egypt in the past, he worked with a wholehearted devotion for his Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, this principle is stated. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When it comes to work and knowing God's favor in our work, God is looking for individuals whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Like Noah, to build an ark. Or Joseph, to be a household administrator in his slave master's house. Or to be the warden's entrusted servant in an Egyptian prison. Or to be second in command of all of Egypt, reporting only to Pharaoh. The eyes of the Lord, ranging throughout the earth, saw that in Noah, in Joseph, in Bezalel, men whose hearts were fully devoted to him, even in their work. I believe that in Egypt, Bezalel was trained as an artisan whose heart was fully devoted to the Lord. And the first example in his life that we need to follow is to say yes to work and do it wholeheartedly for the Lord. There's a third grammatical indicator in the statement, I have chosen Bezalel. And it's that the word there, the verb there, chosen, not only speaks of action completed in the past, but it also literally means I have called by name. And its idiom meaning is I have singled out this person. Or I have put my finger on this person. Bezalel, his name means in the shadow of God. He was one who lived under the protection of God. And God called him by name. He singled this man out to serve him in a particular way. God is still choosing and setting apart devoted Christ followers who are skilled workers to serve him in completing his mission on earth. We think of God using pastors in the local church and him using missionaries among the nations to accomplish his mission of making Christ known to the ends of the earth. But that's only partially true. God is using every skilled person whose hearts are wholly devoted to him to accomplish his mission on earth. So on the count of three, name your top three skills. One, two, three. That didn't sound very convincing. Try it again. Your top three skills. Number one. Number two. And number three. Some of you need to take strength finders to discover your top three skills. Men and women skilled in information technology. Men and women skilled in construction trades. Men and women skilled in engineering, graphic arts, development, accounting, management, music, you name it. Men and women who have said yes to God in doing their work with full devotion to him are being used all over the world. I was introduced to this reality as a student in seminary. There was a couple that Carol and I enjoyed having dinner with. Ava made great Hungarian food. And she was an engineer. Rich was as well as a gifted musician. And Rich was attending Trinity Seminary as well. But their goal was to go to Egypt as professionals. And in their work as professionals, have a platform to make Christ known. In a couple of months, we're going to have Kurt Bender with us. He's one of the missionaries that we support. Kurt Bender is an engineer. He works for Sunset Solutions in Elkhart, Indiana, to build radio technology to serve the world in bringing the message of Christ to places that are unreached. I can't wait till Kurt comes and shares, because you're going to see in Kurt one who, in his work, is wholly devoted to the Lord and has found that God has set him apart to serve his mission using his skill. Bezalel found his place in God's story by performing his work with wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Secondly, like Bezalel, if we're going to discover our place in work, God's work, we need to live a spirit-filled life. God says of this man who is wholly devoted to the work that God has skilled him in, he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge. Bezalel found his place in God's story by performing his work as a spirit-filled artisan. Think of that. He's the second person to be referred to in the scriptures as filled with the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean others weren't. It's just that he's the second person to be referred to as filled with the Spirit of God. And he's the first person in the scriptures to have God say it of him. Joseph in Pharaoh's court has this description made of him, but it's by Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, who else in our midst demonstrates that the Spirit of God is in him? Here we have an unbelieving pagan king recognizing the mark of the Spirit of God in the man of God, Joseph. But here we have the testimony of God concerning this artisan, Bezalel. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Bezalel found his place in God's story by performing his work as a Spirit-filled artisan. And God commands each one of us as Christ followers to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 18, the verse reads, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, the contrast between these two New Testament imperatives, do not be drunk with wine and be filled with the Spirit, is immediately evident in the context of the Exodus as we move from Exodus chapter 31 into Exodus chapter 32. While God is singling out Bezalel as Spirit-filled, a Spirit-filled Israelite who will do the work of God, the Israelites below Mount Sinai are engaging in a drunken orgy. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're filled with drunkenness and acting out in sexual perversion. The record of Exodus chapter 32 at verse 1 says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around to Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. And Aaron answered, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to Yahweh. What an abomination. So the next day the people rose up to have a festival to Yahweh. They sacrificed burnt offerings. They presented their fellowship offerings. And afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and they got up to indulge in debauchery, a drunken orgy. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul is saying, and God has observed in the life of Bezalel, that he and we are to live a life under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, not under the controlling influence of alcohol or the desires of the flesh. We are to surrender, we are to yield, we are to submit to the indwelling Holy Spirit who is in us as a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the fullness of the Spirit was evident in Bezalel's work. The Spirit of God gave Bezalel with wisdom and understanding and knowledge to do the work that he needed to do. To illustrate this point, I want to share with you the story of Pastor Vladimir Boev. I met Pastor Vladimir Boev in 2002 in Lipetsk, Russia. Vladimir grew up in an atheistic, communistic home. And he retold how that when he was in junior high and he went to the school in the seventh grade, that there was a day when the teacher called him forward to the front of the class, and in front of the class, had him stand while she berated him. She said, "Vladimir, you are stupid. You are ignorant and of no use to me or this class. You are wasting our time by being here. Leave." And as a young teenager, he walked out those doors, ended his education, and went to work in a factory without God and without hope in a communist world. Until as a young man, he met a pastor's daughter and was intrigued by her and asked her if she could date him. And she said, "Not until you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior." This pastor's daughter was instrumental in bringing Vladimir to faith in Christ. And Vladimir reported, "When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God turned the light on in my mind." He was no longer a stupid, ignorant young man. Vladimir, when I knew him in 2002, had planted 4 churches in Lipetsk, a city of 750,000 people. In 2002, I witnessed the chief of police and the school administrator calling him on his cell phone to ask him to come to the school and deal with troubled students that they couldn't deal with. He would go to the police station and deal with troubled young people. He would go to the school and deal with troubled young people. He would go into the homes and work with parents and troubled students at the request of the police and school administration. So they opened the school to allow him to teach, to allow this stupid, ignorant young man to teach ethics and morality in the public school. God gave Vladimir the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge required to serve his community and pastor God's people. Point: God will enable you to do the work he has prepared and set you apart to do. But you must say yes to your work and employ your skills with a heart wholly devoted to Christ and with a life fully surrendered to his Spirit if you're going to find your place in his work. Thirdly, like Bezalel, employ your skills in service to the Lord. The scripture records in Exodus 31, verse 4, God gave Bezalel all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Every skill required for the work that God had called him to do. Furthermore, when Moses is introducing him to the people of Israel, Moses affirms in Exodus 35 at verse 34 that God has given him and Oholiab the ability to teach others. Not only the skill to work with their hands, but in order to accomplish God's work, the ability to teach others. The scripture says concerning us in 1 Peter chapter 4, each of you should use whatever gift of grace you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We're to employ our skills in service to the Lord, in our community, in our church, and to the ends of the earth. You can do it in a simple way. You can say yes to God in terms of a short-term missions assignment. Several years ago, we sent a team of 26 from First Free to Pai, Tanzania. If you were a part of that team, would you stand this morning? You're part of the team that went to Pai, Tanzania. So, Ron, while you were in Pai, Tanzania, what kind of work did you do? Teaching for the most part. When you went with the team to Mongolia to work in the community center, what kind of work did you do?
Flooring and painting.
Flooring and painting. What's your work in life?
Flooring.
Flooring. Yeah. Tim, when you were in Pai, Tanzania, what was the work that you did?
Building beds.
Building beds, which use what skills?
Working with metal.
And what do you do in life? You're a welder. Yeah. Kathy, when you were in Pai, Tanzania, what did you do?
English as a second language
as a girls, with the girls. Rachel, when you were in Pai, Tanzania, what did you do?
ESL
and played with little kids. And you're good at that. Okay, Karen, when you were in Pai, Tanzania, what did you do? And you loved on kids as well. Got to be mom to a lot of kids, especially on the days when the Compassion Kids came to town and hundreds of kids were on campus. Matt, when you were part of the team, what did you do? Teaching students and faculty the use of the computers primarily. Okay, great. Linda Giebert. Medical care, worked at the clinic. Dale?
Providing counseling.
Providing counseling. And Linda, what do you do in terms of your work?
I'm a nurse
at Trinity. And Dale, what do you do?
You're a counselor.
Carol Aubrey, what did you do in Pai, Tanzania?
Counseled
girls. And what do you do in terms of your work?
A lot of counseling.
She whips me into shape. Saved our marriage 37 years worth. Steve, what did you do in Pai, Tanzania?
Taught computer classes.
And Allison, what did you do in
ESL,
English as a second language? Thank you, each and every one of you. There were untold numbers of skills brought to bear on a ministry at Pai, Tanzania, the Tanner Secondary School for Girls. And we ministered to 600 students and then to the faculty, to members of the villages as well. And this is an example of what it is for us to, as stewards of the grace of God, to employ the skills and abilities that God has given us in a work of service to the Lord. We can do it in our community, we can do it in the church, we can do it to the ends of the earth, but God calls us to do it. He calls us to say yes to work and to do it with wholehearted devotion to the Lord. He calls us to do our work as men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he calls us to employ, to be stewards of the gifts that he's given us, that we might work and labor that men and women might know Christ. Final aspect of the example that's before us this morning, Bezalel. He did as the Lord commanded. Bottom line, the Lord said to Moses, they are to make them all the things for the tabernacle just as I commanded you. And so that when Moses is speaking to the people of Israel in Exodus 36, verse 1, he says, so Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability, that's you and me, or to do the work just as the Lord commanded. There are many things that God has commanded us as Christ followers. And he has gifted us by his Spirit with everything that we need to accomplish what he has commanded. And one of the things that he desires is to leverage our work and the skills that we earn an income with for the kingdom. You can find your place in God's work by demonstrating wholehearted devotion to the Lord in your work, by living Spirit-filled lives, by employing your skills in God's work, and by having a heart and a hand that are willing to do all that the Lord commands. You commit yourselves to those four things, and you're going to find your place in God's work. If you're curious about how God might use your work, your skills, in his mission to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, make a note on your connection card. I'd like to know how I can discover how God could use my work, my skills, to bring the message of Christ to the ends of the earth. I'll give you a hint. There are two ways. One way is to get connected with one of our missionaries, Bob Wernz, whose role is to help connect people with God's work, to connect a worker, a laborer, a skilled person in the United States with a mission agency who's doing God's work among the nations. Another way to do it is to look at some of the mission organizations that you know, whether it's African Inland Mission or Wycliffe Bible Translators or others, and look at their career opportunities online. But God wants you to know your place in his work. So give yourself to wholehearted work, to Spirit-filled living, to engaging your skills for the benefit of your community, your church, and God's mission. Bottom line, when God commands it, do it. Gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before you as your people today with the example of Bezalel before us. And we thank you for writing his story down in your word that we might learn from it. We offer ourselves today to you. We offer our hands to you today. We offer our skills to you that we might labor for Christ in the time that we have remaining. And as we close our worship this morning, Lord, we offer our tithes and offerings to you that you might use them to fully supply the work of our local church and fully support the missionaries that we've sent out. Because you have chosen them and you have set them apart for a work to do, and they have said yes, and they are doing it. In Jesus' name, we offer ourselves and our gifts to you. Amen.